de Global Latin Factor Podcast.
Welcome, welcome you and I to another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast, where we talk about, say it with me, Latino, everything. And today, another great episode. Make sure you go and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you have not. What you're waiting for? Also, follow us on whatever audio platform you're listening to. Give us a rating. We appreciate it very much. Okay, let's get to this very, very special episode. Today, we have the owner of Street Chic Kids. Maybe I didn't say it correctly because, you know, I'm Mexican. My Spanish comes out sometimes. Chingonas Only, I can say that one. And she also earned her master's degree. We have Bree in the house. How you doing today?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming through. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get to a segment which we call Preguntas al Chile. We got this beautiful graphics going on again. If you have not subscribed to the channel, what you waiting for so you can watch this beautiful work that Carlos did with some nice, nice Latino music. Okay, here we go. Tacos o tortas?
Tacos.
Corn tortilla or flour tortilla?
That's hard. Flour.
Flour. Gorditas or sopes?
Gorditas.
Mexican coca o jarritos?
Jarritos.
Agua de horchata, Jamaica o tamarindo?
Jamaica all the way.
Jamaica, I like that too. Salsa verde, salsa roja, do you like spice?
Verde.
Verde. So, menudo o pozole?
Pozole.
Churros o flan?
Churros.
I know you drink a little bit because I've seen you snap. Corona, Dos Equis, Modelo, Victoria beer?
Dang. That's hard.
Almost hard, right? Got the good ones.
Modelo.
Modelo. Okay. Tequila or mezcal?
Tequila.
Okay. Valentina, Tapatio, Cholula sauce?
Valentina.
She got that on the purse on luck, right? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Conchitas, the Conchita bread, the pastries, brown, the white ones, or the pink ones?
The pink ones, of course.
Absolutely. Okay. So whenever you hear the word Latino or Latina, what does it mean to you? Or Latinx, what comes to mind whenever you hear that phrase?
What comes to mind for me is welcoming, mm-hmm. friendly, mm-hmm. food.
Yes. Absolutely. As you can tell, Preguntas al Chile. Awesome. We appreciate it very much. So you're not Latina.
I'm not.
So I can't ask you what does it mean to be Latina. However, you do embrace the Latino culture. Even though this is the Global Latin Factor, it's just not to be all secluded, to exclude everybody else and not have anybody else that is from a different culture that really does embrace the Latino culture. And of course, like you said, feeling welcoming and different things like that. So I feel that you're somebody that does that. And I felt like, why not? We could just, you know, chop it up and talk about different things that you have experienced as far as, you know, being around the Mexican culture, Latino culture, and the same thing for what other people have learned from you. So that's pretty cool. Okay. So why does the Latino culture, or how is it because of the area that you moved from upstate New York? The reason why you hang around with a lot of mix, because I thought you were Latina for a little bit. I thought you were mixed.
Yeah, no. So when I was little, the lady who took care of me, she was Mexican, mm-hmm. Mexican American. She raised me with her grandkids equally mm-hmm. the same. So as long as I was in that house, I was family there. So I was in the assembly line making tamales at 4 years old with everyone else. You know, we had our little Spanish lessons, and you know, we got a little pow-pow, like a little type, little one when we didn't say something correct, you know, just a little correction. So she really made me feel a part of their family. Mm-hmm. My mom worked a lot. She was a single mom. So when I was there, I felt safe. I felt like I had a traditional family.
Right.
So that's kind of where that kind of came from, me speaking Spanish, me kind of being more familiar with the Latin community and cultures and traditions.
Nice. That's awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay. So you own Chingonas Only. Where did the name come from, and why did you decide it with that name?
I have always been referred to as the Chingona because I had so many jobs. Mm. And my friends would make so much fun of me. They would be like, oh, the Chingona can't come because she's got to work. You know, I had 2-3 jobs at a time. So yeah. I was always the Chingona. So when it came towards me making a decision on my business name and what I wanted to stand for, Chingona just really resonated with me. Like, I feel like I needed to incorporate it. But then what had happened was, is I had a little bit of a conundrum with a friend of mine. She was not being chingona.
Okay.
So I had decided, you know what? From now on, I'm only hanging out with chingonas.
Okay, I got
And I had told my friend, she's like, put it on a shirt. And I was like, only chingonas? That doesn't make sense. And then that's when it dawned on me, chingonas only.
Oh, I see that. That's what's up. I appreciate that. Okay, so what drives you to do whatever the things that you do every day?
Oh, man. So the first thing I would say that drives me is just motivating myself to do better. I mean, I've come to a point or I've come from a position where I didn't have much. I didn't have a lot. But, you know, so I was always trying to find a way to pay bills and do things like that. So just having side hustles and being able to provide for myself, and that's what just motivates and drives me. But on the other side of things, having the events where I'm able to help other entrepreneurs build their business, that's so rewarding. And that's really what makes me want to keep pushing to have bigger events and do more things within the community.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've seen you needed to have three jobs if you were going to put yourself through school, right? You earned, because I kind of seen your journey through IG of your stories of having to go this and finally having to earn your master's degree. So that took some time. How long did that take?
To get my master's, it was just 2 years. I went straight in, no break. I just went in straight for it. My undergrad, that took me a little bit longer because I did take some breaks in between. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So, I mean, I was on a journey for that one. But the master's, I just wanted to get it done, and I just stayed focused and got it done in 2 years.
Jesus, 2 years? Did you sleep at all?
No, I don't remember sleeping at all.
You don't remember sleeping during that time?
No. I was working. I had chingonas only I was trying to build. I had Street Chic. I was doing the photography. I had a 9-to-5 job, and I was doing that. So I don't remember getting any sleep.
Jesus, man. I'm glad. Hey, congratulations that you have your master's. I mean, that's awesome. I don't want to really read a book, let alone go to school for a long time. You know? Okay, so what do you want people to take away for as far as whenever they hear? Because I seen chingona before, and it was trendy, a couple of things, but it wasn't yours necessarily. It was something different. And then this is yours. But what do you want people to take away whenever they see the chingona merch, whenever they see it in display, whether you're on a pop-up or where they see it on a digital?
Yeah, when people see my merch, I want them to feel like it resonates with them. I want them to see, you know, their hood represented on something, be like, oh yeah, West Dallas, that's where I'm from, Webb Chapel. Mm-hmm. I want them to feel like they're represented. Not just with the Chingonas Only logo, but just the other merch as well. I want people to be like, oh, yeah, I know that, or that's where my cousin's from. Like, that's what really, like, makes me happy when I see people walk by my booth, and they're like, wait, you got something from Agtown? And then they're like, that's right.
You got doormats, you got keychains, you have all kinds of stuff, right, as far as the merch?
Yeah, yeah. I'm always trying to think of new ideas and new things that people would want to, you know, have on their desk or want to have in their home. So I'm always writing down ideas and looking up new things and getting new samples and see what I think is going to really sell.
That's pretty dope that you can see something about somebody's neighborhood and you can put it on something that they can take to their house and just be like, oh, that's my stuff. And it's in their house and it's part of their house. That's pretty awesome. Did you get any kind of like, I don't want to say backlash, but anybody made any weird comments because you're not a Latina? But you're using chingona or anything like that?
Yeah, no, not at all. I think, you know, I've been doing things around Dallas for a very long time. So people are very familiar with me and my background and the things that I do within the community as a whole. So, no, and I try to be very cognizant of my brand and the events that I take part in. You know, and sometimes people reach out and, you know, they're doing something where they want to spotlight Latin American individuals or business owners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, you know, I want to save this space for a Latino person to be a part of this event. And sometimes they're like, no, come. Like, you know, you do so much for the community in general. Like, we want you to be here.
Right.
So I always make sure that I put that effort in and have that conversation with people, because that's not my intention to take away space from a Latinx business owner when that space is for them.
Yeah, and I know that it's a fact. Even whenever I was reaching out to you, when I first wanted to be interested, like, look, this is a Latina that I think is doing some wonderful things, which I'm still going to have her on. I'm going to reach out and have her on. But it was you did exactly that. You pointed me to somebody else. You said, I'm not Latina, but here's a person. And I said, okay, cool, but I still want to. But yes, you did that. But I appreciate it very much because you're right. You know, sometimes people are weird, and it's cool that you want to, if they're asking for a Latina, that you give them somebody. But if they still want you because of the work that you're doing and that you're really truly embracing the culture, not only just the culture itself, but individuals and entrepreneurs that want to put them on. So that's dope. And that's part of the things that your Chingona only does, right? Whenever you have pop-ups. So what is it that you want to do whenever you have and host? What can the people, whether it's a vendor, whether it's anything like that, what can they expect in one of your events?
Yeah, I mean, everyone can always expect to have a good time at one of our events. I try to make sure that, you know, it's kind of like a party atmosphere, family-friendly party atmosphere. You know, we just started having a DJ at the events as well to kind of make it a little bit more livelier. You can make some money. You know, I work really hard to promote the events. I'm a one-person team. So anything that is Chingona's only related, it's just me doing all of it. But I work really hard to advertise and promote and make sure that, you know, every business owner that comes out makes sales. I take that very personal as far as marketing and making sure that, you know, we don't have an empty event.
Okay, so the what is the I lost the train of thought. What was the number one? I'll go back to the previous question. What's your number one selling item that you have had so far?
Oh, that's hard. So I think it's going to be a 50-50 split between keychains and stickers.
Sticker. I got you a sticker. That's why you
I
were
love
happy.
Stickers. I have a sticker collection, so I'm so excited to take this home and put it up. Okay.
So the thought came back, the affordable part. Because so, I don't know, maybe just me, maybe just doing my podcast, but I've noticed there's all kinds of pop-ups of everywhere, all kinds of things. It's just, I don't know if it just started happening or maybe I didn't realize, so all of a sudden they became a thing. But some of them can get kind of pricey, right? Especially if you're coming up barely, if you just decided to, you know, create an idea to have a some kind of brand. But you make it kind of, you make it affordable as far as if you want to be part of it, just at least to get the exposure of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the main things that when I was doing my business plan and thinking about ways that I could help other small businesses is affordability, because it's expensive. Whenever you're buying product, buying arts and craft supplies and trying to get inventory, I mean, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want anyone to go further into debt to be a part of the event. I want people to be able to network and build their brand and make a profit from the event. So for me, by keeping, you know, the fee as reasonable as possible, depending on the location, is my main priority. There's been a lot of places where we've turned down or I've turned down because, you know, it just wasn't feasible. For me, a lot of money is $100 vendor fee. I feel like when you're first starting, that's a lot of money and it's a risk because you don't know if you're going to make that back or not. So I try to make sure that I stay under that. And it's been hard. It's been a challenge, but I love a challenge. So, but yeah, we're making it happen. And I really want people to come out and know that, you know, you're going to be able to network and build a community even further when you're a part of my events.
What makes you decide of what kind of is the actual location that you use? Besides the price, do you consider the location? Do you consider different things? The capacity of how many people you can get in there?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of things that go into the factors of how I pick a location. For the longest time, we had the same location for months and months and months and months in Oak Cliff. And there was a lot of foot traffic there. But that owner is no longer at that location. So that kind of left me trying to find somewhere else. So for me, it's, you know, is it somewhere where people can see it? Can we get people from the street that see the tents up and see the DJ and they stop? Is it somewhere where, you know, we can be outdoors and indoors because of the weather. You know, Texas, we never know what kind of weather we're going to get.
Every 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I think about. But I just partnered with a tattoo shop in Grand Prairie that has an awesome outdoor location for us. I'm really excited to be there. We're going to be there in November and December. So I'm really excited for this new venue. It's a little bit outside from Oak Cliff where I usually host. But I'm ready to expand so that we can have a market everywhere. I want to be in Oak Cliff. I want to be in Webb Chapel. I want to be in East Dallas. I want to be in North. I want to be everywhere.
So that's the next step for you as far as Chingonas Only. Is you were in the Cliff for a little while, but now you're trying to maneuver around the different areas in the DFW? Is that what's happening now?
Absolutely.
That's great. And real quickly, let's touch up on that event. So you said November? Mm-hmm. November, what date again?
November the 6th.
Okay. Do you know the address and stuff like that for the location yet?
I want to say it's 114 Northeast Street, Grand Prairie.
Okay. And what's the name of the tattoo shop?
It is Good Paint Artworks.
Good Paint Artworks. And you're going to be there November
the 6th.
And then again, December?
December the 4th, we're going to have a toy drive.
Okay. So the one for November, is it going to be one of your regular pop-ups to people to come out?
Yes.
Is there a theme that you have designed whenever you create one of those pop-ups? Is there like a name or something like that that you go with? Or do you, because I'm just still learning about those things. I've seen them. So when you create a pop-up, you just for the vendors to come out so they can be seen and they can move some of the merchandise. Is that pretty much what happens?
Yeah, that's definitely pretty much what happens for my markets, my pop-up events. There's some where they have theme markets. That's a part of their branding.
Okay.
Me, I'm anti-theme. I'm anti-pastel colors.
Really?
I keep it true to my aesthetic, which is, 90s flannels. Okay. I try to keep everything kind of like the way I dress, the way I look, all black, everything.
So,
if you want bright pink and frilly stuff at the pop-up, probably not going to happen.
You might if they decide to, they still want to be part of it, right?
But yeah, so everyone's table is their personality, right? Mm-hmm. So of course, we'll have people that bring their personality whenever they set up their market. But like for our flyers and all that stuff, like it's 100% like me. Like, you'll know that I did that because it's like, yeah, she didn't put a whole lot of colors. It's pink. It's not pink. It's not black pink. And white and gray.
I needed to switch cups then.
Maybe
you.
Like a little blue.
I gave you like nice green one. I'm going to have to definitely. Switch it. I did have a black cup too, though.
Yeah, everything I own is black. My car is black. My jacket is black. My couch is black. Everything is black.
So we'll put you on the right couch. Look
yeah,
at that.
See, this matches my house.
I mean, black is cool, but there's all kinds of other beautiful colors. But you're not against it. But it's pretty cool that you made a presence as far as somebody can look at a flyer and like, oh, it has to be Brie. It has to be hers. So that's pretty cool. Okay, you like Web Chapel a lot, don't you?
I do.
The reason I'm saying is that because you have some of the merch, like you said. People have different things that they can incorporate into their house. But you really do that. Why do you embrace it so much? Not only Web Chapel, but I know you have different, like Oak Cliff and things like that. But why Web Chapel?
So I've lived in Web Chapel for how long? 2 years now. Mm-hmm. I love Web Chapel. And it's not the same. It's not going to be the reasons why people would think that I would say I love Web Chapel.
Okay.
But I love Web Chapel because there's no traffic. Everything I need is like 4 minutes away, like I only have to go down two streets.
That's cool.
And there's everything.
Uh-huh.
And I like that because I have social anxiety. I don't like driving. That gives me anxiety. So just having everything I need right there. And there's good tacos everywhere.
Everywhere. I appreciate you coming over here. You're kind of far away from Web Chapel. But thank you for taking the time to drive. It's really appreciated, especially when you really like to drive. Show them your logo real quick. So one of the cameras. Look, so if you see that right there, that's Breeze. Make sure you go and whatever pop-up she has going on, events, make sure you go and support her. Have you ever been part of not just your own pop-ups, but a different pop-ups that you go out and either you just want to show face or you want to support or whatever the case might be?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I go to pop-ups all the time just as a customer, just to say hi and look and shop like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sign up to be a vendor at other people's pop-ups all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's what one thing that makes me a little bit different as far as my business model is because I don't view anyone as my competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's all love.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of money in DFW for everyone to get their little bag going.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like to support other people just as much as they support me. And maybe they don't support me, but I'm still going to support you because it's what I do.
Yeah, that's what's up. And it's so weird because you're right. There's plenty of money to go around. The mentality that the money is short and there's not enough of it. And then I have to get the most is just the wrong crazy mentality because there's plenty. And another thing that I noticed about the things that you do as far as you post on IG is a lot of mental work and motivational things and trying to kind of sort of like get rid of that like being poor mentality and things like that. Where did that? Well, I know that it's because your mom was a single mom and she had to come up and get the money. But is that where it comes from?
Yeah, I think a little bit of that is. I mean, whenever you're growing up and you, I don't want to say I didn't have or mm-hmm. I was neat because I mean my mom was a hustler. She worked three mm-hmm. jobs, so I didn't really go without. But whenever you feel like you're not having enough in your mindset, it becomes bad for you. It becomes a habit where you always feel like I'm broke, I'm poor. But you know, you have the basic needs, but in your mindset, you feel like you're lacking, right? But that's bad for you. Mm-hmm. So I always have the mindset, and I like to study manifestation. I like to manifest. I'm rich. I got more than I need. The universe is always providing me. So if I can share that, what I've learned with other people, I think that's great, especially as business owners, because, you know, if you think negative, you're always going to have a negative outcome. Right. I always think positive. I'm going to sell every day. Mm-hmm. Every day I wake up, I'll make all the money I need today.
Yeah.
And I put that into the universe. And the universe has never failed me. I've never lagged. I've never missed a bill. Like, I always get what I need because I have that positive mindset, and things are going to happen once you start speaking positively.
Yeah, not only speaking positive, but when you're talking inside your mind, those words are still doing something. Like, people think I'm crazy, or we were talking about it. I had two authors, and we talked about Tupac. And Tupac's lyrics, a lot of them said about him being killed and murdered or things like that, and that came to be. Not only him, but Biggie and different rappers. Certain things that they say, the word is very powerful because it comes back and something happens. Same thing whenever you're saying good things, you know? Like, I always say this one because I'm also into those things like that. Like, for example, whenever I know that I'm going to possibly be running behind, I said, I'm always, instead of saying I'm going to be late, I say, I always make it on time. I always make it on time. And 9 out of 10, almost every single time, I make it right on time. Or if I don't, I run into something, like I notice an accident on the side of the road or something crazy. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I wasn't meant to like leave on time for the same reason, you know? Whatever the case might be, it works. It really works. And you talking to yourself in a negative way, in a bad way, it really does get into your soul, and it does, things do happen. It really does, and it does come into its existence. So what better way than just to talk the best thing possible? I mean, not necessarily fake it till you make it, but like what is it they say? Misery loves bad company, or whatever the saying is. Like, you're in the rain and you just keep talking negative instead of like, wow, the rain is a beautiful thing. We need the rain. Without water and anything, we'll be in a very bad place. So why not welcome it and just, you know, talk yourself into a better situation than negatively all the time, because you are going to stay there. So I appreciate that. Do you still do photography, or kind of walking away from that? Because I remember you used to do a little bit of photography.
Yeah, I put it down for a little bit. So I'll keep it for real. My laptop broke, and it just wasn't my priority to get another one. And I kept putting it aside. Then finally, it started, not having laptops are affect Chingonas only too. So I was like, okay, I just got to get a new laptop. So I got a new laptop, and then I looked at my camera and I was like, you know, do I want to do this or do I not want to? And I feel like for me, I like having creative freedom. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if I do pick up my camera, like, I want to do more of the shoots that bring out my aesthetic, that bring out my brand, like shooting for my own brand.
Right.
More so than what I was doing before. Because before, I did a lot of like sports photography. I was doing family photos. I was doing a lot of other stuff. But I feel like the next time go around that I bring it up, I think I want to more focus on the things that really make Chingonas Only and make me me.
What about incorporating that photography into the events you have already? Like, some of the pictures or the ones that match the things, the vendors and things that you already have.
Yeah, I've thought about it and I've tried it, and I'll be really honest, I failed miserably.
Why?
There's just so much going on at the events I tried, I really did. But for me to try to, you know, be a host and have my vendors good and then also run my booth and then run around with the camera, it was too much.
It's too much.
Like, I was like, okay, I learned my lesson.
Maybe when you go to one of the pop-ups, then you can capture some of those.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
That would be better. Right. Because I've been part of events and putting in it, like, you're running everywhere. You don't understand how much your attention is needed whenever you put an event together. Well, you got to be here, or this, 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 and then, oh my goodness. Before you know it, it's like, And then you have to do run your own booth too. I was like, it's too many places. Okay, what was the, going back to the previous question about being part of it, what was the biggest pop-up or event that you've been part of so far?
I would say I did the Dallas Lowrider picnic.
Mm.
It was in September 18th, I believe it was.
Yeah.
That was the biggest event that I've ever done as a pop-up vendor.
Yeah. How'd it go?
It was amazing.
It was good?
I sold out of like almost everything.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So you're looking forward to that one again when it comes back?
They can sign me up for anything that they're at. I'll be there.
You'll be there. Okay. What part of area of New York? You're originally from upstate New York, but what area was it?
Okay, I'm gonna tell you, but no one's gonna know.
Well, you no might one's be surprised because I've been to upstate New York, so I might.
So I was born in this small town called Olean, New York.
No, I never heard of
See,
it.
I knew.
What
it.
Area is it close to?
So
Syracuse.
No, it's like Canada.
Well,
so the next, I think the best way I can tell people mm-hmm. is that it's closest to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So go Sabres, go Bills.
Yeah.
But then also
go
the
Cowboys.
Next, uh-huh. And then the next closest place from my town is uh-huh. going to be Pennsylvania.
Okay, so I know the area. So I've been to Buffalo before. I landed there, Buffalo. But I was in the military before, and I was stationed in upstate New York, but literally like 30 minutes away from Canada. It's close. It's called Watertown.
Okay.
And the actual fort, it was Fort Drum. So we're literally right there, and the closest biggest city was Syracuse. So whenever you say upstate, I'm like, because it has to be way up there. Because I can mind, I know the area a little bit, but I never heard of it. And there's actually a Mexico, New York. A lot of people don't know that. On that drive from Syracuse to Watertown uh-huh. going up, there's a Mexico, New York.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
that's cool,
a little
though.
Mexico. We used to drive all that time when we were going to Syracuse to have adult time, you know, just go party or whatever. But it was pretty cool. So I was like, maybe I know the area where you're from. But okay, so I never heard of it, but that's pretty cool. You made your way over here. Okay, so your mom really did inspire you. Who else does inspire you as far as going forth and just bettering yourself? I mean, again, having a master's is not an easy thing. I think you're one of the few people that I know in person that has a master's degree. My brother has a bachelor's. Other people that I know have, you know, good education. But it's awesome. So who else inspires you as far as going forward and try to strive to be a better person every day?
That's a hard one because there's so many people that are in my life that mm-hmm. are great people that really inspire and challenge me to be better. I mean, I have two little sisters and everything that I do, I always think like, am I reflecting a good mm-hmm. image and portraying who they should be? Am I being a good role model for them? So, you know, just in my little cousins and, you know, just anybody in my family, like for them to have someone positive to look up to. I challenge myself to be better for them. You know, I work my corporate job. I have rock star AVPs and vice presidents that I work under,
mm-hmm.
Women of color, females, that they do some dope stuff and every day. And they're up there with the men and they're making these numbers and they're getting stuff done. And just to, you know, clock in every day and be directly under women of color in corporate that are hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's inspires me every day to push the envelope and challenge myself in a corporate way.
That's dope. And why do you feel that, going back on the previous, I'm just like, things are coming up as we're talking. Why do you feel it's important to talk about manifesting and things like that? Where did the dawn on you to, you have to exercise that in life to be better? Because they kind of go hand in hand with striving to be a better person, because you can't say, I'm going to do better for myself and then talk real ugly about yourself or talk really negative about yourself.
Yeah. So I had some friends that actually mm-hmm. practice manifestation and they part of my life every day
mm-hmm.
and they would call me out, be like, don't say that about yourself or don't say that about your situation. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And like for the longest time, I like dismissed everything they said.
Mm.
Until one day I was like, what is the shame in me trying? What could that do? So I spent like 2 weeks really focused on the lessons that my friends had taught me about manifestation and speaking positive. And I caught myself thinking in my head, as well as thinking out loud, the things that I put in text messages, anything that I did, really thought intentionally about, is this a positive? Is this how I really want to reflect my life? Is this what I want to happen?
Right.
And ever since I started doing that, things started to change around. You know, I got a few different new jobs, got promoted like 5 times. Like things started to happen for me. You know, I got the house that I wanted. I got the car that I wanted because my mindset changed.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't being negative, because when you think negative, you're only focused on what could go wrong. When you think positive, you're thinking about everything that could go right. So I think just having friends that saw me be me before and saw me in the trenches being negative and calling me out actively, I think that's what kind of started that shift. And then, you know, then I started to work on myself personally as well, like just inside and some traumas and all that stuff. And then when I started talking to a therapist, you know, you learn more about positive self-talk, you know, and like, hey, you need to start not being so hard on yourself. You need to start thinking positive. So then you have a professional telling you what your friends taught you about manifestation. And it's like, oh, this is like a real thing.
Yeah. Tell me one thing that you manifested that you were like really passionate, really wanted it to happen, and it happened to you, and it was proof that it works. This is not magic. I'll go back and touch up in it a little bit. This is not like a magic or wizard or magic potion. This is just real life things that could happen. But tell me one.
Oh, just one? I have to narrow it down to one. That's crazy. Oh, okay, I'll do a throwback one, which I did unintentionally, because it's before I even knew manifestation was a thing, but I really wanted to be on Kenowin. Can I say that? Can I say that?
Of course. Whatever you would like.
I really wanted to be on Kenowin way back in the day. Yeah. I don't know how it was, like 20, 21.
Yeah.
And I told myself, I'm going to be on Kenowin. I'm going to be on that Hot Mix show. A week later, I'm on the Hot Mix show. And so that was dope. that was like before I really knew what I was doing, but just things like that. And now looking back, and I was like, oh yeah, I manifested that.
Yeah, I feel you on that, because I did this. Oh, I was in Canaan for a little bit too, but those things do happen. So one of mine, like, I don't fully understand it, right? Because there's always things that you have to keep working, and things start presenting yourself how things operate. But one of them was, one time I said that I'm going to travel this year, and I'm not going to pay for anything. And the company that I was working for, just by mere, I don't know what, one of the managers I was talking to, that I had just barely moved to another department, I went to talk to him, and we were just talking about random things. And then one of the directors came in and asked him if he wanted to go to Manila, the Philippines. And he's like, oh, I can't, I have my little girl, but Crispin can. And I'm like, I just looked at him like, huh? And the director's like, can you go? I'm like, yeah, sure, I go. Sure enough, I started getting emails. I got my passport. I flew all the way to the Philippines for 2.5 weeks. I did my job. I did what I needed to, but I didn't spend a dime. And I traveled all the way to the other side of the world, like literally the other side of the world. And I was tripping out because I do meditate. I like to meditate. So when I was meditating like next to the water, I was tripping out, and I was like having tears coming down, because I'm like, man, I really made this happen. I really said that I wanted to do this, and here I am, and just tripping out, like chills and everything. So that's pretty dope. I like the way you think. That was pretty awesome. Okay, so what is the, besides moving around the DFW now and not only being in one location, but going in different places, what's next for Chingonas Only? What else do you have in mind? What have you like created in your mind that you're going to bring to reality?
Yeah, so I think in the past few months, I've been really thinking about how not only can I impact small business owners, but as far as their small business, but how can I help them? Maybe there's people that aspire to be a corporate chingona, and you know, they need to know how to get to that level. And so I've been trying to think of ways I can incorporate to their brand. The other day, I actually did a one-on-one session with one of my followers to help her rebuild her resume, give her some interview tips, you know, and just kind of give her my expertise on, you know, leveling up as far as your corporate life. So my goal is to host a community session to help chingonas of all colors, you know, have that knowledge on how to get into the corporate world, how to move up, what your resume should look like, how you should interview, how you should present yourself, build your personal brand within your job. So things of that nature is what I want to bring into Chingonas Only as well. I think it's important, especially for women of color. We don't have the same opportunities as other people may have. So it's important that we're on our game as far as, you know, resumes, interviews.
Yeah. So you're talking about maybe doing some kind of workshop, kind of like that, like a Chingonas Only workshop that can incorporate the not only an entrepreneur spirit, but also giving you some of the tools necessary that you might not understand why you're looking at a video or different things like that. But somebody can like talk to you and you can kind of sort of break down what is it a resume or how do you better put a resume together or what questions might be popping up and as far as an interview so you can land a better position in the corporate world if that's what you want to do. Is that what you want to do?
Absolutely.
A workshop. I think a workshop would be awesome. I think a workshop. Well, again, I know you were working in whatever it's going to be, but I think the workshop would be kind of cool that you can do. And awesome. Okay, so what other big events do you have? What other big events do you have coming up soon besides the ones we talked about earlier? The one for November 6th and the one for December. Remind me again.
December 4th.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about that one. So you have an actual toy drive at the same location, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is it going to consist of? What does it happen during this time?
Yeah. So I'll be honest. I just started planning this on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. You're a little behind.
But I will say that we're going to be doing a toy drive for Dallas Children's Advocacy Center. Mm-hmm. Those are children that are in abusive situations. Mm. And so I've donated to them before on my own. So I've really wanted to find a local charity that we could give back to where we can make an impact on kids. The toy drive is going to focus more on the older kids. Mm-hmm. So I'm requesting everyone bring something for kids 8 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
And the Children's Advocacy Center has like a list that I put on a flyer on our Instagram page so that everyone can kind of get an idea of what kids 8 to 14 are into right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll have the toy drive. We'll have a normal pop up. We will have the DJ. But it's just, you know, just an extra little thing where, you know, we'll have encourage everyone to bring a toy in. And then we'll drop it off to them and try to bless some kids for Christmas.
Okay. So it looked like it was a spur of the moment thought to create a toy drive. Where did that come from?
So I've typically always done some type of drive, either by myself or with work or so. And I looked at the calendar. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's almost November. And I was like,
yeah, I was telling him.
And I was like, we're like lagging. This. And I was like, well, did I do a toy drive last year? And I was like, no, we didn't because we didn't have a location. Mm. And I was like, so, and, you know, we just didn't get around to it. So I was like, you know, I'm really going to do it this year. So I was able to work with Good Pain Artworks again. Mm-hmm. They opened their space up for us so that we can make it happen. So right now I'm just getting everything together, start soliciting for vendors, trying to put something real cool together. I don't know if I can get some lowriders out, but I've been emailing people to get some lowriders out.
Lowriders?
Yeah.
I can link you up with somebody. You know Josie from ULA?
No.
I'll link you up with her.
Okay.
She'll hook you up.
Yeah, so we've been, you know.
Josie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you in a spot, but I know that you're the one that does it, so I'm going to let her know about you, Josie.
Yeah, and I want to get some other local organizations a part of it as well, some nonprofits. Usually at most of my events, there's a few nonprofits that ask to join in. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's no vendor fee for them,
right.
So they can educate people about their services. Mm-hmm. Some people are, you know, asking for volunteers, or maybe they're selling an item that goes to their nonprofit. So, you know, I'm trying to put all that together. I work really good on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a great event. I mean, we still have plenty of time, but yeah, I just thought about it and I was like, I'm just going to make it happen. So that's just what I do.
Awesome. So the event is going to be kind of like a regular pop-up,
uh-huh.
But it's going to include a toy drive. So is the fee for the vendors going to be a toy? Or are you asking the people that are coming out for the pop-up to shop to also bring a toy or both?
No, that's a great question. So we're encouraging the vendors to also bring a toy. It's going to be lower than our normal vendor fee. And so that way they can.
So they get a discount for bringing a toy.
Right.
Okay, awesome.
Right. So that way it kind of just helps because I know some people, they may not be able to do both. So we'll find a way. We'll do the math. We'll crunch the numbers and we'll make it happen. So where, you know, people have that availability to
mean you will make it happen and you'll crunch the numbers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That's the, yeah. Me. So yeah, so we'll make it happen so that, like I said, it makes sense for the business owners, but we're also helping the kids. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you know, we can't always think about money, right? So right. Me as a business owner hosting an event, I can't always think I need to make a profit for myself, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's not a good mindset. I need to figure out ways where I can help my community, right. Help the community of DFW, help women of color, help people of color, help the Latinx community, the Black community, whoever it is. That's my ultimate goal at the end of the day. So sometimes I have to take off that business cap because I'm so used to it with my 9-to-5 because, you know, that's real numbers.
Right.
And I have to like, wait a minute, how can I fix things mm-hmm. to make sure that I'm making a contribution?
Yeah, that's true. And the why that particular age group and why that particular area, that organization that you're going to donate the toys to?
Yeah. So, I mean, just when you think about it, whenever we do toy drives, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes as customers, you know, we just go in and we find toys, right? So mm-hmm. And usually those toys that are less expensive are for 0 to 2 years old, 3 to 4 years old, mm-hmm. you know, it's the building blocks and, you know, great stuff. But we kind of limit ourselves to little kids. So usually, based on kind of what I've learned and researched over the past, you know, few months of trying to learn more about nonprofit and donation drives and things of that nature, mm-hmm. There's usually the older kids are kind of missed and left out.
You know what? I never thought about that because I've done toy drives before too. And I know they're toys, but I never look at, is this going to be for a bigger child or a certain age group that might be left out without a toy. And you know, that's a great idea that you thought about it. Why did it pop into your mind to make sure that those kids are also included?
Well, I think it's important that all kids experience Christmas, mm-hmm. not just the little kids, mm-hmm. you know, and I've seen, you know, where, and just kind of looking in from a different window into other people's lives, how the younger ones get things,
oh, yeah.
but the older ones are kind of, you know, because they are older, mm. you know, for the spirit of Christmas or whatever reason, you know, they kind of get left out.
Right.
And so I just think it's important for all kids, especially these kids that are part of the Children's Advocacy Center. They've had a hard life, mm. you know, they should have at least one special day where they get a toy that is meant for them, that is age appropriate for them. And right. I was looking at the list and it's like, you know, Bluetooth speakers and Bluetooth earbuds and curling irons and curling rods. And yeah, they're a little bit pricier than the little kids' toys, but, you know, not that much.
Not by much. You're right. Like you go to
Five
Below.
That's my spot.
Five Below and you find some good things that do work. For like a nice present for a kid within that age group. So that's dope. Awesome. Why, again, I don't know if you answered the question, but that particular one, why is that one mostly is the one that you want to, that organization? Why?
Yeah. So with Children's Advocacy Center, I mean, their focus is children that have been abused, mm-hmm. you know, and most abuse that happens for children happens from within their household. Mm-hmm. So just thinking about how special these kids are,
right?
To, you know, have gone through what they're going through and still, you know, pushing through and still trying to have that childhood and still trying to, you know, live every day knowing that the trauma and the hurt that they've been through. I think that's something that really touches my heart. Mm. Because at the end of the day, kids are kids. Right. And to have that, you know, just to know that, you know, someone in their family or someone that they knew has harmed them. Mm. And now, you know, they have to go through that all life with that heavy pain. So I think just knowing that center is benefiting those kids that have been through some really, really tough, difficult situations, yeah. Really touched my heart.
Yeah, that's dope. Because it is true. You know, they're going to have to go through that as kids, already being kids. And then, in addition, having to you know, go as adults and having to eventually deal with that trauma and having to, you know, eventually realize that the world is not all evil, not all the time. And, you know, they just so happen to be that something happened to them, and hopefully that this day and this toy can bring a little bit of joy for that particular moment. So it's great. I had never heard of this. Let me know the address once you get the address. That is the address you said, though, for sure, right? Or you want to double check?
I'm 97% sure that that's the address.
Okay.
It's right off Main Street.
We'll put it on the description. Just send it over to me. Okay. What other events do you have going on or in planning in the future? I think it's pretty much over for the year, right? 2023?
Yeah. So those will be probably the last two events, unless there's another event that pops up that I join a part of someone else's. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, pretty soon I'm going to start planning for February.
Already?
So January is a little iffy because didn't we get snow or ice last January? Or was it February?
So. I think so.
So I was just like, let's just see what Texas says the weather is going to be like before I start trying to plan this early.
Yeah.
So I'll wait until like mid-December and I'll start strategizing for that. But I mean, definitely for 2023, I want to have reoccurring markets because I'm used to having a recurring market, like, you know, twice a month, once a month type situation. And we had a fall back on that due to not having a location. But so the next couple of months, I really want to secure some locations across the DFW that we can be consistently at and having that market that, you know, everyone kind of knows, like, oh, it's the first Saturday, so it's the Chingona's only pop-up, so let's go. And like, you kind of have that brand recognition for the market and the pop-up, so that way people, you know, already know what's happening. Vendors can already plan accordingly. So just really having that is what I really want to look forward to. As far as events go, but I'm down to sign up for other people's events as well. So I'm just waiting for, you know, everyone to kind of reach out to me. Let me know what's happening for 2023. But I definitely want to be out and about as far as getting the brand out and selling the merch. For 2023, I'm focusing more on streetwear, more so than the other items that I have. So I've been working with getting custom jackets, custom hoodies. And when I mean custom, it's like cut and sewn custom for just for us. So like legit streetwear. So, you know, that's look really out, dope. Kanye, I'm coming.
Yeah, that dude is something else.
Yeah. I told my mom, I was like, I mean, not really Kanye, but like before Kim Kardashian, Kanye, when he was like a little bit normal.
He's a very strange individual. I have my own opinions about him, but I just let it be. So, okay. Do you have other products besides the streetwear that you focus in? Is there anything else that you're focusing on as far as the new products or new? Because you always have the keychains, the stickers, and everything like that. Is there a doormat I think I've seen, but any other particular product yet?
So that doormat is actually not from my brand.
It's not yours.
Okay, no, okay. I supported someone else's brand, Sunflare Creations Co.
They beat you to that idea.
They have the best. They have the best customer service. They have the best ideas. Like, she literally worked with me and talked with me like through the whole process. Cause I was like, if I send you my font, can you do it? And she was like, yeah. Cause you know, I have my own
particular font.
Yeah. And I was like, and then like, she was like, you know, working with me and like, she sketched it up and she showed it to me. So it was like just a couple of days where I was going, talking to her to like get everything solidified, but the best customer service, Latino owned business.
Nice.
Look her up.
What's your name again?
Sunflare Creations Co.
Okay. So no doormat. That's from somebody else. But you have your own keychains and different things that you do?
Yes.
Okay. So any new products that we expecting in 2023?
Probably.
Yeah? You don't know yet?
Probably. So I've gotten requests to do more hoods. Like, I got grilled the other day because I didn't have anything for Singing Hills. And so... Singing Hills. All right, let's sketch something up for Singing Hills.
Okay, so you have so far done Oak Cliff for sure. Webb Chapel. And
West Dallas.
West Dallas.
East what else? Dallas. Pleasant Grove.
Pleasant Grove.
Arlington.
Yeah, Agtown. Grand Prairie.
No, but now we have a market in Grand Prairie, so I gotta sketch something up for Grand Prairie.
Yeah, something you gotta come up with something. Did they ever find that Cobra that ran off? You remember that story?
Yeah, no. I was scared too because I told my mom, I was like, you might want to put that dog inside.
That thing ran off. I hope it's still alive. Well, I don't know because there's a lot of land.
isn't it, it's like you only have to like have like heat and stuff to keep a snake alive.
I don't know. But like, it snowed by the time it got lost, and I don't know.
I don't know anything about reptiles.
He probably died, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere. You know what I've been watching? I don't know why I be watching these videos. I have no reason to be watching these videos. But the people that be messing with the gators and the snakes and stuff.
I love those videos.
I know, but I don't know why I love them. Because
Have you ever been to an alligator farm?
Nope, and I don't want to.
Okay, let me tell you. Let me tell you about my trip to the alligator farm. Uh-huh. So in Beaumont.
Okay.
Is the alligator farm.
Yeah.
You could go there and see the alligators. And you could also feed them. But let me tell you about Big Tex. So Big Tex is like a 12-foot alligator that acts like a dog. Like he'll tell him to like sit kind of.
Yeah.
And he'll like literally kind of sit like an alligator sit.
Yeah.
And then take the treat gently from his hand like a dog.
From his hand.
Yeah.
Does he have teeth still?
Yeah.
No.
It's like a real alligator. But you have to go and you have to. It's like, I don't think it was like $10 to get in. It was something really, it was like affordable.
So I'm paying $10. So. Of the risk of it snatching
but
me
I
up.
But I was like, how much can I pay? It's like, go and feed Big Tex a treat. Because, like, literally, he's like a dog. And the owner
he's
said that.
He's not a dog.
But, he acted like one. It was cute. He was so gentle and cute. So the owner of the alligator farm said that he grew up in a pond.
Uh-huh.
And all the local people used to feed him. So that's why he's so, like, docile.
You know what I noticed? Some of the videos of the people that I've been watching. Some of those gators seem to understand what they're telling them. You know what I mean? Like a dog, like an actual pet.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're not pets, and I'm not going to get close enough to pet because I even put a status on my Facebook. People that get bitten or struck by a freaking snake, they deserve it. But at the same time, I look at the videos like, is that thing really like understanding what this guy is telling them? Like, they really like you said, like go up or sit like a... I'm like, what? That's not right. Maybe they're smarter than what I think maybe they are.
I don't know. But I wouldn't touch any other alligator except for Big Tex because Big Tex has earned my trust. Like, I
seen
him.
He'll snatch you up. If he hasn't eaten in about 3 weeks, you'll
They keep
you'll
him
be,
well fed at the alligator no. farms like he's in the wild.
No. Don't go out there and wherever you're at by about body of water, see an alligator, think it's Big Tex, and it's going to just, you're going to be able to
no,
pet him.
Only Big Tex, not a Big Tex lookalike. It has to be the Big Tex from Beaumont.
Heck no.
I trust that alligator. We could be homies.
I would not. I don't know. I just, gators and snakes just, I don't know why I like watching those videos, but it's not my thing whatsoever. Okay, so for anybody that is a vendor, mm-hmm. and they see a Chingonas Only, why would they want to go with you or have an experience with you as far as doing a pop-up? Then I'm not trying to say nobody else or don't go with anybody else, but what would they have what benefit do you bring them as far as, besides the lower price, what else can they expect from you than from different people that do different events?
Yeah, I think especially for vendors like myself that mm-hmm. aren't cutesy and frilly and have the shabby chic aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
I think for alternative vendors or vendors that have a different aesthetic,
mm-hmm.
they fit into the market as well as those that do have that more shabby chic aesthetic too. It's more of a market where everyone seamlessly blends in.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a part of markets before and like my table stands out like a sore thumb and like no one wants to come by because, you know, they're trying to, it's black, you know, everything is black at my table, you know, it's different, right? Mm-hmm. And I felt like I'm an outsider there. But when you vent with me, everybody's an insider. Like, you can have whatever aesthetic, whatever it is that makes your brand, you feel comfy there because everyone's welcoming. I do a good job, or I try to do a good job of curating vendors that are open-minded, that incorporate other people, that support each other. Because I watch my vendors interact on socials before I even invite them to an event.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, oh yeah, like you support, you're good. Like, you know, let's connect. I just gave my secret out because I never told anybody. But yeah, I do my research before. I just don't see people and then invite them. Like, I'm looking at your story. I'm looking at your things. And so it's something where there's something for everyone. And I don't think every market has that. And that's why I don't do as many markets as I'd like to, because I know like I'm probably not going to make any sales, or I'm not going to blend in just because that crowd is going to be a certain aesthetic and they're going to be like, you know, just run away from my table because it's all black, right? So when I try to do my market, I try to make it a mix of everything, mm-hmm. inclusive vibe. You know, we play a little bit of every type of music. So it's more of like that type of vibe. So everyone feels comfy and everyone has an opportunity to make sales because there's going to be people that are targeted for everyone, right? Because that's how I do my marketing strategies. So I think that kind of what sets us apart. And I'm not a catty person. I'm not a dramatic person. Mm-hmm. I'm all about my money. I'm all about having a good time. So I feel like that kind of sets us apart because I don't know if you know, but there's a lot of vendor drama.
So I don't, but I'm pretty sure every freaking thing that there is, whether it's DJing, whether it's this and that, whether it's shows like this, have their own thing.
Yeah.
Where does it come from? I don't know. That's why it's good that you kind of sort of get their vibe and kind of know that they're going to be matched whatever you got, the idea of what it needs to happen. Because in your mind, you're already kind of seeing what it's going to be. And you have the variety and not none of that drama stuff that is going to be coming to. And that you make it family friendly, you know. I'm pretty sure there is because there's so many pop-ups that I've seen. There's so many of them. And yeah. I wouldn't doubt that. Again, the mentality of there's not enough for everybody is going to create some problems. I don't doubt it whatsoever.
Yeah. So. I mean, I personally haven't really encountered any, but I've heard some stories. And so just like, you know, I've put a post a few months back, you know, just these are my rules. Like you come in, if you want to be a vendor, you're supportive. You don't talk bad about anyone, a positive environment. We're all here to make money. Like I made that like very clear as far as putting it on my Instagram, putting it out there on socials, what we're all about, because I just want everyone to have a good time. I just want everyone to make money. I don't want all the extra stuff.
Right.
And I feel like that's kind of what sets us apart just because I don't hide that. I put it out there and like I post it on socials through my Chingona Only page like, hey, y'all.
So it's kind of like the house rules, which is only makes sense if you're about the money and you're trying to. It only makes sense to support each other if you're already there. And then not to mention why the extra stuff if the bottom line is to make, you know, bring your product out so people can see it, get a better name because you don't want a reputation that you go into a certain place, pop-ups, and you're always creating issues. And then sell product and make money.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's kind of what sets Chingona's Only events apart just because I try to put it out there and not tiptoe around it and not be secretive about it because, you know, I just put it out there. Like, I would prefer everyone just support each other and keep it at that and positive interactions with each other and hype each other up. And so that's what I think that's really what our markets are all about. My markets are. Okay. I keep saying our.
Hey, it's a big market. So if you're coming to pop up and, you know, they want to, do they reach out to you? What's all your social media contacts that they can reach you at?
Yeah, so I mean, Instagram is always the best way to reach me. I try to respond as quick as I can. Mm-hmm. And it's just Chingonas Only.
And IG. Then you got the website as well.
Chingonasonly.com.
Do you do your own artwork in the website too?
So funny story is I've been teaching myself how to do my own artwork. So I would say 97% of the designs that are out were done by me. I've commissioned out 3 complicated ones, and I'm learning every day how to do better. So
that's good. Awesome. Okay. One quick question. So if you were, and we're about to wrap it up, so thank you very much for being here. Again, I know that you don't like to drive, but I appreciate it that it's dark and you came from a long, far away. So thank you. Traffic was dying down anyway. So. But if you were a very important lesson that you would have learned doing this business or in general in life that you can tell your younger self that somebody else can learn from it, what would that be?
I would tell my younger self, don't doubt yourself. Just go for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I want to touch back before we leave on that manifestation part and that thing. That stuff is like real. It's not like a made up thing. And you hear it and this and that, but you got to understand that it's also in the belief that it works in order for it to work. You know, I'm not too much of religion, but there's certain things that say, how do you ask? Like, what is the correct way to ask, or how do you pray? Well, you pray as if it's already yours, And the manifestation part is like you see it, you visualize, and the visualization too is like you're already touching it and experiencing it and literally like living it. And that's the reason why it makes it happen. If you say that affirmations don't work, that within itself is an affirmation. You're not believing that part. So you have to surrender to the thing that if things have not worked for you for a long time and you just keep at it and they don't work, but you have the same mentality, you're creating insanity within the mind because you're doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, and it's not going to happen. You have to be able to surrender to thinking a different way, flipping the page, and giving a chance to something that could possibly change your life. So if you believe that it will and you're willing to, and you start exercising little by little until you start literally believing, things will happen for you in your life that will change your life. Why am I saying this right now? I don't know. I've been doing the podcast for a year and a half, but I think this is the time to let you know that it is possible for you to change your life. This manifestation of this podcast and this whole vision didn't just come overnight. It had to take some time, but I have to believe in the process and trust it and generate the thought that I wanted to make this in order for it to be happen. Where it's not where it's at? Absolutely not. But I'm not against the work, and I know that because the mindset and the belief is already created that it's going to happen, then you just got to do the work. You just have to go through the motions of doing what you need to do. And then just like Chingonas only became, I'm pretty sure, of a thought to create an actual tangible thing that moves around now in the DFW. That's how it comes to be. So you just have to believe that it does happen because that's part of the process for it to be a real deal, a real touchable thing that you can have here in this world. So that's all my part on that. Okay. So another, I have one more question, but I appreciate you being here again. I know I said it a few times, but it really, truly means a lot, especially when you don't even like to drive or leave the house and leave your puppy. But with doing everything that you do, the mindset, manifesting, which I think is universal, not to mention being able to give the opportunity to other vendors coming up to be able to show and showcase whatever they have going on, whether it's Latino or not. It's still, to me, I feel like you're a global Latin factor. So, Bree, you're a global Latin factor. Thank you for being here. One last question for you. If anybody was to Google you or search you years from now, what do you hope for them to find when they search you?
What do I want them to find? I want them to find Chingonas only in stores. I want us to be in Neiman Marcus. I want us to be, I don't know, Nike sponsor us.
Nice.
I want to be in the big time.
Got the Cortez on
I know,
deck.
And I can't even find any new Cortez because the resellers took them all. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, no, wow. I really want to be, you know, in stores. I really want people to recognize us as a streetwear brand, the biggest female-owned streetwear brand in Dallas, in the nation. I'm thinking big. No more thinking small. Yeah. 2023 and up, we're in big leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chingona, if you didn't know, translation is badass. Somebody that's badass. Somebody that is like you can incorporate leader within that. But the word itself is really not a translation. Somebody that is a badass pretty much is what it means. So Chingonas only, badass only. So we appreciate you. Thank you very much for being here. We're going to wrap it up. Again, subscribe to the channel, YouTube channel, audio. Listen to us again. We appreciate the ones. We're moving up. And it's all thanks to you. Again, this was another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast. Remember, we're just like you. We are the spice in this melting pot that it is the world. Till next time. Thank you very much for checking out this episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast. If you are enjoying the content and the channel, go ahead and subscribe. Help us reach our goal of 1,000 subscribers so we can bring you more episodes, more channel. Go like, go subscribe. Go write a comment. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
One, what is del amigo? Walks like a pedo, but in fact, he's a flamingo. Coming to Havana and drinks from Puerto Rico. On a pirate ship, he don't know where do we go. The birds of the jungle chasing fortune and...